Welcome to the Company Growth Podcast.
This is the Company Growth Podcast. This is Alicia Dominico.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico. On today's show, I'm going to talk with Dylan Wycliffe from HubSpot. We're going to discuss how a customer journey map helps your sales, marketing, and customer service departments align to achieve better growth. Stick around until the end of today's show, where we discuss the tools that help you along the way, including our mutual love for Slack. When your sales, marketing, and customer service departments work in silos, it's bad for company growth. Dylan, you have an interesting background. You've worked as a digital marketing consultant with lots of people in your previous careers before you joined HubSpot, and now you're helping people overcome challenges all day long. Talk to me about the sales or growth challenges that you're seeing and how people are overcoming them.
I think I see tunnel vision as one of the main challenges that we have to overcome. I work with all kinds of different companies who are either really focused on marketing or really focused on sales or really focused on like driving referrals and customer service and building that side of their business. But I think like the biggest challenge to overcome is to like tear the walls down between those three. So instead of zooming in on one at a time, looking at them all as like one big conglomerate, because I think they all, customer service, sales, and marketing all play an equally important but vastly different role in your company. And I think the companies that all three of those as a whole, I think are the ones that grow the best.
What Dylan means is it's not great to just be one person in a company only looking at one department. It means that there isn't a consistent guide for a customer throughout their buyer's journey. Let's take an example. We all know what it's like when you call a company and get passed from one person to the next, each time having to explain and re-explain what you're calling about. No matter how many notes the company representative promises they are taking, every time you speak to someone new, you find yourself having to re-explain the context of your call. I love that you brought up how marketing and customer service and sales all fly into each other, and sometimes hard to have that visibility on what is actually going on. A lot of times that marketing person is kind of siloed away from a lot of the growth stuff that the rest of the C-suite is looking at.
A lot of times people have this idea, if we just get more leads from marketing, then we'll close better deals. Or if we just close more deals, have better opportunities for retention. And I think everyone kind of passes the blame off to each other. The salespeople need to be hyper-focused and forward-thinking. It's so much more than just call the people and hit the metrics because it's just a numbers game. I think there's some truth to that, but I think at the end of the day, like salespeople need to be so just obsessed with where their company is going and then even more obsessed with where their clients are going, because that's why they're offering that product or service in the first place.
We're talking about cohesion and collaboration between marketing, sales, and customer service departments. Wouldn't it make for a better customer or prospective customer experience if all members of your team knew all about your customer's individual interests in your company just from confirming their name? That level of visibility is possible. I believe every team member needs to be aware of the company's overall growth objectives. What I often see are cloistered marketing and communication managers who aren't privy to the revenue targets the company leadership is focused on. But what is the point of a marketing staff member if they're not trying to help you make money? And how can they help you make money if they don't know what the target is and how their efforts contribute to the larger revenue growth pie? The tunnel vision. Everybody has a stake in what has to happen growing this company forward, and we need to involve more people and have more transparency. So how are you seeing people overcome that growth challenge or sales challenge?
I think it's automating as much of the process as possible. It's letting your audience solve and answer their own questions as best as you can, so that when they're ready to talk and when they're at that stage of the buyer's journey where they want human-to-human connection, you're ready to do that as well.
Automation, self-service. Dylan's talking about letting the customer drive contact points with a company. That's the shift in marketing he's going to talk about next. But that shift of letting the customer drive the journey can be terrifying for a company, because ultimately, the company still needs to make enough sales every month. And to make enough sales every month, they need enough leads to work through and become customers.
I think like we've already seen the shift in marketing happen where we're not being advertised to unless we want to in most cases, and we're blocking out all the noise. And basically the only companies that are marketing to me are companies that, you know, I traded my email address for some kind of content, right? I was already interested. And I think sales and service need to follow along too. So I think it's important to get a read on your leads, that you're not just cold calling and prospecting to people that you can't actually help or that aren't a good fit for your business.
When you're scared about not having enough leads, it's really important to be able to prioritize your time across your departments. And of course, you need the ability to communicate with each prospect or customer and have full visibility of where they are and what interests them at every stage that they're in when they're buying. That means you need to have enough content in smaller bites to suit them along their way and let them choose what soundbite they're ready to hear. Of course, none of this is possible without a customer journey map. Dylan introduces the concept of the buyer's journey and its power next.
We can't solve for the buyer's journey if we don't know the steps on the journey. I think a lot of times, like, if companies can't answer those questions starting out, that's the exact place you need to start. So you do that through the QL process and the customer service process. The process doesn't change no matter like what software you're using. I think regardless of what tools you're using, like, that process needs to be smooth and frictionless. And I think your customers and your companies are better for it.
So qualified leads, and then looking at when people's life cycle stage changes from qualified lead to customer, we speak to them differently and change the message.
Yeah, and it sounds really great. Like, everybody wants to know every step of their buyer's journey and every fork in the road along the way and where friction is and is not. But frankly, like, I speak to so many companies who don't even know how to answer that question or have that conversation. So I think working with someone like you who knows how to have that conversation, how to facilitate that thought process, is so valuable.
I feel like I can push back on that and say, you know, not all companies feel bought into that concept yet. How are you helping them buy into that concept? Is it just, you know, the same thing that we've always said, right person, right content, right time?
Ultimately, I think you have to stay married to that idea. We're only talking to the people who are bought in. At least we're prioritizing our time that way. So if they don't have any interest in shaping the way they think about these processes, it's just not wise for me as somebody trying to grow a business to spend the majority of my time with them. There's a very small number of excuses that someone will give you for not wanting to take their company this way.
When everyone on your team is aware of and working from even a basic customer journey map, you can free up everyone's time to better prioritize. A journey map helps both customer and company to create less friction in the buyer's journey. So your customers and your team members work together at the right time.
I work with manufacturers all the time. And the number one objection in manufacturers is always, we're a word of mouth business. We don't need marketing. We don't need sales. We get referrals from all of our customers and we go from there. And I'm like, yeah, that's freaking awesome. And that's great. You've done that for the last 30 years. I want to continue doing that and maybe find a way to do that even better. But I want to empower your sales team to work better. I want to empower your marketing departments to bring in, you know, other sources of income as well. So I think, like, a big pitfall for companies is, we've always done it this way. I think that quote right there is like the biggest red flag ever, not being willing or ready for change.
Dylan's right. There's no point taking a prospect or a customer along kicking and screaming. You want them to choose you. You want them to have the tools to choose as they're out there looking for a solution to their problem. Those red flags go away when everybody across the departments can see which stage someone is at and is able to allow them to self-serve the information they're looking for. And if at this point you're wondering how the heck you make a customer buyer's journey map, there's lots of templates for them online. I like to search on the images of a search engine in order to help me find a template when I'm just learning something new too. So we want to arm our sales team with understanding who is the hottest lead and let people self-serve and swim around, but really focus your time and prioritize it. We want to say that if people are giving you red flags, you should listen to that to make sure that you're going after best fit customers. And we also want to be looking across the silos in your company to achieve your larger growth goals. But does any of this advice apply if you were just starting out?
Even salespeople have a fight or flight response. So sometimes I'll hear the word startup and my knee-jerk reaction is to, well, let me know when you guys take off and talk to me later. But if I prioritize my time and commit to them long term, eventually startups turn into big companies. I mean, at one point, Amazon was a startup in the garage, and they use vendors for something, and somebody got in early on, I'm sure, and built a good relationship. So I think there are diamonds in the rough, and red flags are not signs to run away, but I think it's just so important to manage your time well. It's important to forecast well. So what deals are most likely to get closed, like in this month or this quarter, however you measure yourself, which deals are best case, which deals are still good deals, but not anytime soon deals. So, and then just build your follow-up process.
What Dylan says about starting a relationship is so important. Particularly in 2020, it's critical that your company is available online in any way that a customer demands, but that your company is not in your customer's face. Simple things like your voice tone and how you start an unscheduled phone call can betray a company's self-serving attitude and will quickly make your prospect shut you down or give you the millennial cookie dunk, as I like to call it.
You know, it's been stopping.
The millennial cookie dunk is when you answer the phone and the caller says, "Hi, Alicia, this is Sam from Company X. How are you today?" Here comes the cookie dunk. You respond, "Oh, I wasn't expecting to hear from your company today, X," and you quickly hang up the phone and never answer that number again.
Very valuable.
The reason the millennial cookie dunk is not rude anymore is because anyone who is genuinely interested in starting to build a real relationship with you would never start a call like that with the most non-caring question, "How are you today?" Everyone knows "How are you today?" is never meant to be answered honestly. All of this is critical information for startups or any company trying to widen their reach with out-of-the-blue or unscheduled phone calls to prospects. The power in your ability to grow your company lies in knowing where that person is in their buyer's journey and how far away they are from a customer stage. When you outline your customer journey map, you begin to understand what messages are appropriate at what stage. Both startups and growing companies have a terrific opportunity to build out all of these processes well before they get bogged down in operations. Later on, when their pipeline is fully full. And as Dylan explains, this information is critical to the success of your sales team and the rest of your company.
Yeah.
I want to go back into your startup comment because I think that that's something that's really interesting too. I feel like we're also elongating what a startup means.
Yeah.
And it can take, you know, a few years to get revenue positive, or maybe you're revenue positive but still not really in the adolescent phase. So you're still a startup. Do you have any advice for, like, you know, how to grow yourself better as a startup?
So I think you surround yourself with people that you trust, with people who are bought into the vision of your company. You're kind of an adventurer. You're pioneering something. You're starting something. And even if you're, you know, the administrative assistant for this company, you're still on the ground level, and you're a part of that really important season where only people who are bought into where this company is going are the ones that are going to stick around and the ones that, frankly, you want around if you're leading a startup. So I think from, like, the very beginning, it's important to hire and surround yourself with the right people. Everyone has to be willing just to crush it, just to work hard.
Let's go MarTech for a second. What's a software that helps you in your daily life resolve challenges?
I promise to myself, anytime that I get asked the MarTech question, I don't only say HubSpot. So I am going to start with HubSpot. So
yeah.
Being a HubSpotter, obviously, that's going to be somewhere that I land. But I was a HubSpot customer before I was a HubSpot employee. So I'm a very avid believer. Whether you're a startup with $0 or a multi-million dollar company, I think HubSpot is the right fit for marketing, sales, service, and CRM. But as far as other tools that I use every single day, Slack, as you know, is my go-to communication platform.
I love Slack.
Oh yeah, I have multiple workplaces now. And then here's kind of a fun one. Two more. So
you're being generous.
I am. I could go on. I love tech. So, but there's a little app in the App Store on Macs called MiniPlay. MiniPlay is a remote control for your Spotify or iTunes. So it's very small, so it doesn't take up a lot of screen space. I actually use two computers, not two monitors, but two actual computers, because I'm just a freaking nerd. And I use my big computer as my Spotify player, and I use my little computer for my day-to-day, and I use MiniPlay to control the other computer. So,
dude, cool. I'm getting some major Richard Scarry references. I know you have kids, too. It's like, Mr. Fix-It, for little jobs, I use a little hammer, and for big jobs,
I am a total
use
nerd.
A big hammer. You are a total nerd. You're a total self-proclaimed lame. All right. Well, thank you so much. But we got to go back. Why do we love Slack so much? Like, if you had to articulate it, like, why is Slack such a must-have? Because there's, for the haters out there who aren't using it.
Yeah, so it's the most convenient way to communicate at all. I mean, I work with a ton of people at HubSpot and a ton of people outside of HubSpot. And I tell them, if you want a quick response, it has to be Slack. It's on my phone. It's on my computer. It's on both my computers.
Yeah. Well, and the integrations, like, I love that I have my live chat on my site pops over to my Slack. So it's like, I don't have to be online all the time. If someone's there looking for support, it pops over to my phone no matter where I am.
And, you know, one more HubSpot plug. So, like, we integrate to Slack as well. So in my context, anytime that I'm assigned a new QL or somebody comments on one of my deals or a deal moves into a new deal stage, like somebody just purchased online or something, I get that notification in Slack too. So I can either use the HubSpot app or I can use Slack to just get those notifications like a text. And yeah, it's great. I mean, I could go on and on.
Love it how instantaneous it is. And I love all my channels. I love it. I love how I can stay organized with Threads. I actually changed my name to Alicia, Please Use Threads on Slack to help some of my fellow users.
Yeah, that is Dylan, a thank huge you pet
peeve. So much. Thank you so much for being here today. And I'm pretty sure at the end of this, Dylan is probably going to let us post some kind of a link that's going to allow you to get freemium versions of HubSpot. I'll put that in with the notes on the show.
You know it.
Thanks, Dylan.
No problem.
Read more about customer journey maps at tangiblewords.com/company growth podcast to read more in depth and get the free offers mentioned in this show.